Buenos días. I'm checking your Spanish. It is a blessing for Chuy and I to be here this morning, and also thankful for these opportunities to share God's work among us, in us, and through us in Mexico. And we had a presentation last night of the Mexican Indian Training Center, which is the name of the ministry where Chuy, my wife, my beautiful wife here in front, I don't know if you all know her. Would you stand up, please, so they can see you? Turn around. There you go. Okay, this is my wife, Chuy. And Chuy and I are so blessed by the Lord to be able to serve at MITC. And as part of God's service at MITC, to be with you this weekend. It has been such a wonderful blessing. We thank the Lord for it, and also for the opportunity to share at this time in the Sunday school about that work where God has put us. I realize that there are several of you who were not here last night for our mission presentation. And even though my purpose this morning is to go into a little more personal and of the family origins of this ministry, I do want to take advantage of this opportunity to give some of the general information that we gave last night for the benefit of those who were not able to be here. So I am going to show a video. It's not that long. And for those of you who saw it last night, bear with us. I think it's only 3 minutes. But it is going to be helpful for those of you who don't know about the ministry. And in just a few minutes, you can get a bird's eye view of what God has us doing in Mexico. So if we could have the MITC Exist video, please, Brother Lance and David. Thank you so much.
MITC exists to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in the southern part of Mexico. And the means that God has given us to do that are the Bible schools, medical groups, mission teams, youth camps, evangelistic crusades, Bible conferences, and many other activities during the year with our students and staff and visitors. In the Bible schools, our students train to serve as pastors, church workers, missionaries, evangelists, children workers, youth ministers, and Bible teachers. We presently have 4 types of Bible study programs. We have the full-time living on campus program, where the younger students come and receive housing, teaching, training, the full package. We also have the Saturday seminary, which is geared mainly to people who are married and with other ministry or financial responsibilities and are unable to come full time. We have also just begun our post-grad program, the theological seminary, that offers a 3-year degree in theological studies as a continuation of the Bible school study programs. And it is to provide our alumni with more biblical and theological knowledge and tools for local church ministry. We also have local Bible schools. These schools are remote and located in different regions and are led by 2 or 3 of our alumni. And through them, we offer the first 2 years of our Saturday seminary program. We are also blessed to have Christian Music School. They are training to be worship leaders, musicians, and choir directors, all with the purpose of serving the Lord in the churches. We seek to make all our programs Christ-centered, scripturally based, and for the honor of the Lord. All the ministries of MITC are by grace and for grace. There is no tuition or financial charge to any of our students. including those who live on campus and receive room and board in addition to their biblical studies. They are able to do so thanks to God's grace and provision through His individuals and churches. For this, we praise the Lord and are grateful for your generosity and support. May God continue to receive glory. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
So, the core ministries of MITC are around the Word of God. The Bible schools are and have been for all these years the central push of the ministry. Many other things have developed through the years in addition to the Bible schools, and some of them have to do with the way that the ministry was started. You saw in the video that we have medical teams. Well, Dr. John F. Hall and Mrs. D. Hall were my parents. And medical missions began with their lives. My father and my mother were from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I don't know if you've heard of that place before. Yes? No? Go Tigers, maybe? Go with G-E-A-U-X, right? Go. They grew up and were LSU graduates. They wanted to serve the Lord on missions. They actually met at a mission conference for young adults. And they met there even though they were both from Baton Rouge. They had traveled to Nashville, Tennessee for this conference. They met there. They fell in love. They both wanted to do the same thing. And originally they wanted to go serve the Lord in China. Well, they tried to go to China, but the door for China did not open for them. It actually closed for them at that time. So they said, well, we want to do that, but we will serve the Lord where He has placed us. So they got involved in the church in New Orleans as my dad was finishing up his medical school, and my mom had studied to be a music teacher. And so they helped in the church, teaching Bible classes, helping mentor others in the faith. My mom playing the organ, playing the piano, teaching people to sing and starting a small choir. And then as my dad finished up his medical training as a general physician, back in those days, the general physician did many things. He delivered babies. He, of course, treated people for all kinds of health issues, did minor surgeries. I'm talking many years ago. The Lord in His providence took him to Shreveport, Louisiana, which is in the northwest part of Louisiana, and established them there and took him there to help start a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, known as Community Bible Church, help start a Christian school known as Graywood Christian Schools back then. And at the same time that these ministries were starting, MITC began in a barn in Shreveport, Louisiana. Well, at least the vision for the ministry started. The Lord allowed my dad to come in contact with a young missionary that wanted to go to Mexico and serve among the Indian people. His vision at the time was to establish a home for young men from the mountain regions, the more remote areas among the different tribal groups, different people groups that had different languages, and bring them in and give them a Christian home and send them to school, secular school, so that they could train and learn different things in hopes that they would go back and help their villages. So that was the initial vision for MITC. And my father went down to Mexico to scout things out and to seek God's will, and accompanied by this missionary. And they visited several of the villages, and my dad took a large quantity of medications with him, and treated the people, opened up a, wherever he went, he would set up a table, have some chairs, and people would come to receive help. Back in those days, of course, there was tremendous health issues in Mexico. I'm talking the middle of the 1950s, and malnutrition was an enormous problem. Deworming was a basic treatment for almost everyone coming to the clinics in those days. And but as he treated the people, he would share the gospel. So the gospel and medical missions have been at MITC since the beginning. So my father felt confirmed in his heart that this was what God had planned for him. So he made up the board for the Mexican Indian Training Center in Shreveport, Louisiana, with several of the church members where he went to church, and also some of his Christian doctor friends who knew of his ministry in Mexico, and worked that way as the director of MITC in the U.S., and helping to, through God's provision, provide for the work in Mexico. And so our mission trips begin. And originally driving down to Mexico, it was a three-day trip driving from Shreveport, Louisiana, to where we live in Mexico, which is in Cordoba, Veracruz. If you look it up on a map, you will be able to find it. It's 3.5 hours drive east from Mexico City. It's almost due east, and it's 1 hour and 15 minutes drive west from the port of Veracruz, which is on the Gulf. And so that is where the mission home was located. And we would make these trips, and we would have 2-3 cars traveling down. My mom would drive one car, and my dad would drive the other vehicle. He would be pulling a U-Haul trailer full of medicines, and the purpose was to go and visit these villages, sharing the gospel, sharing medical help. And so the medical ministry has continued to this day as part of the ways that God allows us to share the gospel and share the love of Christ with many different people. And even though my father and all of those who originally came down to serve in medical missions are now in the Lord's presence, the Lord has raised up others who are now getting old, and so we hope that the Lord will continue to call and bring others to participate in this aspect of the ministry. But through the years of traveling back and forth and helping support MITC and present it in the area of Shreveport, Louisiana. By the way, that is where our home office is still located to this day. The Lord used my father to share the gospel, and also churches begin where the gospel was received. And the young men that were believers in these different villages, my father sought to disciple them and to train them up, and they would become the church leaders in these villages. So back and forth for many years, back and forth, traveling. We would spend our summers in Mexico. We would spend our Christmases in Mexico. I am one of three children. I'm the baby of the family. I have a brother who's 5 years older than I, and I have a sister who's 10 years older than I. So we would all get in the vehicles with our parents and some other friends and brethren who would feel led to go and help and do medical and share the gospel in Mexico and visit the kids at the home and encourage them and encourage the leadership. And we went down in 1970 on one of these trips, and it was in the summer of 1970, and we visited and had the time there, and when we went back to the States, we took a few of the young men from the mission home and visited some of the churches there in the Shreveport area. Of course, I was a child at this time. All right, who was asking? Brother Don was wondering if I was 80 years old. Okay, no, I was a kid. I was 8 years old in 1970. So we went to the States, and then my dad, while we were in Mexico, one of the villages, the name of the village is Vega del Sol. And it's among the Chinanteco people group. Well, this is one of the first places my dad shared the gospel. And it was one of the first places where he saw people come to know the Lord. And it was one of the first places he had the first young men to train and that he mentored in the word. And they became the leaders of the church in Vega del Sol. Well, while we were there in 1970... Brother Daniel, he is still alive. Brother Daniel is still alive. His daughter was dying. And it was one of the diseases that was still pretty common among children in Mexico at that time. And when these epidemics would hit a village, many children would die. And I know that's hard to even fathom nowadays, thinking of that. But it was pretty common back in those years. And she had contracted one of these diseases. It might have been meningitis or encephalitis, but it was way past any point of treatment, way past even trying to bring her to the States. My dad knew that this little girl was on her deathbed. So when we went back to the States, and then my dad brought took the young men from Mexico back to the home, he said, "I need to go visit Brother Daniel." This is about 3 weeks later. He said, "I need to go visit Brother Daniel and give him my condolences and encourage him after losing his daughter." So my dad made the 10-hour trip from Cordoba to Vega del Sol, to the Chinanteco village in the mountains of Vega del Sol, and went to visit Brother Daniel, and went into his house, which at that time was a thatched roof hut, and went through it to the back where the kitchen area is, where they actually cooked on wooden tables with sand and firewood. They would cook on top of a table like that. And Brother Daniel was back there, big mango trees over the hut. And he was sitting at his table. And he said, "Doc, it's a surprise to see you." And my dad said, "Well, Daniel, how are you, brother?" And he says, "I'm doing fine." And he said, "Well, how did you know, how did things end with Emilia, with your daughter? And he said, that's why I've come to see you. And Daniel says, what do you mean, Doc? And my dad says, yes, he was about to die when I left. And Daniel, he said, Doc, he says, don't you believe what you teach us? And my dad says, what do you mean? And Daniel says, well, we prayed for her. You prayed for her. And you walked right by her just now. And my dad said, she's the girl singing in the hammock? He says, I did not recognize her. And he says, Emilia, she's not only well, she's completely reestablished in her health. And my dad was aware that God had intervened and been merciful in the case of Brother Daniel's daughter. And he being a professional doctor, a scientist, of course, a believer in God, but he wasn't ready to see that miracle of God in that life of that girl. And he fell on his knees and just started thanking God and crying to the Lord in joy and praising him. So he got up to leave and walked out of the kitchen through the hut and, of course, rejoiced with Emilia. Emilia is still alive today and loves the Lord Jesus. Walks out on the grass street. This village had, it was a very beautiful village. There were no vehicles in the town at this time. You could only get there by boat crossing a river. All the streets were grass. So he walks out on the grass street. And a man that he recognized from a village 4 hours walk up further in the mountains was coming by just at that time. Now, we believers in the sovereignty of God and in God's providence know that just is not just, okay? It's God's timing for things. And so this man named Juan, every good story has to have a Juan, right? Every good story from Mexico. So Juan told my dad, who is John, which in Spanish is Juan, he said, Dr. Hall, when are you coming? He said it in his very limited, broken Chinanteco Spanish. He said, when are you coming? And my dad said, what do you mean? I'm here. And he said, no, when are you coming to stay? And my dad said, well, Juan, I don't know. God would have to show me that. You see, by this time, my mom and dad were pretty convinced that full-time missions were no longer a possibility. They had been living in Shreveport, and the door had really never opened. And they had decided to work as hard as they could here in the States to help provide for the ministry that God had started and was using them to continue. So he had built a huge clinic there in Shreveport and bought a great piece of property and brought in some associates there to help with that work. But he was pretty much sure he was not ever going to be a full-time missionary by this time. See, 1970. This is almost 15 years later from his first trip. Well, he said, well, God will have to tell me. And this man told him again, well, God's told me. So my dad walks to his, for those of you, I know Mike, Brother Mike will know what this is. He walked to his Jeep Wagoneer. It was a station wagon with four-wheel drive, Brother Mike, and a winch on the front. And it was a tank. And made many trips to Mexico on that. So he walked to his Jeep Wagoneer, got in it, starts driving back to Cordoba and then back to Shreveport. And the Lord, through his Spirit, is working him over. When are you coming? What do you mean, Doc? Don't you believe what you teach us? And there was a need for leadership in the mission home, the boys' home in Cordoba. And so my dad starts his three-day drive home. He gets to his usual stopping point. He knows he's not going to be able to sleep. So he ended up driving 32 hours straight. Gets home. Goes to my mom. Says, honey, God did some things while I was down there. And we need to go full time. It's really tearing me apart. It's so strong, I don't know if we could continue as we are. And his words, his phrase was, we need to get on the ball or get off the team. And to his great surprise, and maybe to everyone's surprise, my mom says, you know, while you've been gone, God has been speaking to me too. My dad said, praise God, we're going to Mexico. My mom says, wait a minute. Says, there's a few things we need to take care of. Says, we've got our home. You built this home. So we're going to have to sell our home. Then there's your clinic that you just finished building with your friends. Says, you've got to take care of your clinic. And one other thing, I want you to tell me how we're going to take care of our kids' education. So they'd had us 5 years apart to kind of help with that down the way. My dad just said again, praise God, we're going to Mexico. So he went on with life as usual. Bible studies, went to his church and was teaching a Sunday school. I guess an adult Sunday school kind of like this here today. And one of the Sunday school students that he had taught for years, he said, John, would you sell me your house? My dad said, this guy's name was John too. It's full of Johns. John, and my dad said, John, you really want my house? He says, I love your house. He says, sell it to me. My dad said, praise God, I'm going to Mexico. And the other John said, you're going to Mexico? He says, but you just got back. He says, no, I'm going to Mexico to stay. He says, you're going to Mexico to stay because I'm buying your house? He said, yep. He says, well, then I don't want it. My dad said, well, why not? He says, well, I don't want to lose your friendship. You're my doctor. You've delivered all our babies. You've been my spiritual mentor and teacher. He says, I don't want to lose you. My dad said, John, we're in the Lord's house. You said you wanted to buy my house. I know you can buy my house. You're going to buy my house, and I'm going to Mexico. Sure enough, he did. A few days later, he went to see his partners in his clinic. They had been so kind through all the years of our trips. They were a true blessing. They were, as my dad served in Mexico, the Lord really blessed his medical practice. And he had many, many patients that would come not only for medical reasons, but they knew they were going to hear of God's word, which back then in the workplace was fine. They could share the word and the gospel in the medical clinics. And so that was half of his practice, was to help people with their inner needs of the Lord and also help with a little bit of medicine too. So these guys would help take care of his patients when he was gone on these trips. They would help give him medicines. One year we drove down with an 8-ton truck full of medicines, nothing but medicines. And these guys were always helping. So he went and said, he was the senior partner. And he said, boys, says, thank you for all your help throughout all these years, helping with patients, helping me with my trips. Says, but you may have known this. I didn't. But the time has come for me to go full-time and live in Mexico. Says, so here's the clinic. You can buy me out. You can sell me out. You can steal me out. But I'm going to Mexico. So all this happened in August of 1970. In December, my brother and I and my mom and dad, we were sleeping in the house that Brother Mike has been in, and those who have gone down know, which was the main house on the campus. At one time, it was the only house on the campus. In December of 1970, God blessed us and took us there. Now, I want to read a text because I am giving you a lot of personal and family history, but this is so important to remember. In Romans chapter 9, verse 15, Paul says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. I've been telling you a lot of things that my dad did. And we are very thankful for his obedience. But the reason for that is God's mercy. It's all from grace. Of course, the passion in my dad's heart and the verse that was so motivating for him in his personal service to the Lord was that one in Colossians that speaks of the mystery that had been hidden for the centuries, but that now had been revealed, which is the glory of God through the gospel of Christ. Christ in you, the Gentiles, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. So we've been hearing about the glory of God needing to be the moving motive behind it all. And we will speak a little more about this in the message in a few minutes, well, in church, about God's glory as the Great Commission is carried out. But it has to do with our salvation in Jesus Christ and his glory coming to be in us because of him. So we moved to Mexico in 1970. Things were not always easy. In a couple of years, the Lord indicated to my dad, through the brethren who were counseling him, both in Mexico and in the church in the United States, that it was time for a ministry change of vision. After all those years of bringing in the young men to a Christian home setting and, of course, teaching them the gospel and sending them to schools to train to become engineers and doctors and lawyers and different professions, they realized that very few, probably just one, went back to their own village to help with what they had learned. And they became convicted that to serve the Lord, it was necessary to have a calling on your life. It was necessary to be a believer in Christ, but if you were going to go and continue with obeying the Lord and sharing the gospel, you needed to be called of the Lord. So the Bible school began in 1972. It was a tough change. God led us through that. There were some health issues. There were some financial issues. There was many things that were happening, and this is very common. If you follow God's call to your life and you obey the Lord in what He has you to, as you're serving, as you're obeying, there will always come a time of testing. And that's pretty much the scriptural record. If you look at those that God worked through throughout the scriptures, their faith, their obedience to God's word to them was always tested. And that was what was happening at this time. But God blessed and poured out grace, and the Bible school began, and it's been going ever since, beloved brethren. And as you saw, it has continued to grow. Now there are several versions of the Bible school. God has blessed us with a really, really amazing faculty, brethren that love the Lord, love to serve the Lord. The grace of God in their hearts is just beautiful to see. And those of you who come down, that is some of the best memories that you bring home. There are the times of fellowship with the students and the staff members and their heart for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord has confirmed over the years that decision. And now that is our purpose. That is the core ministry of sharing the gospel. It's training up. It's discipling those who have been called of the Lord to serve in the churches. The Lord has blessed that ministry, and through the years, many churches have been started. We do not have a church on campus, which would be very easy to do, but the vision is always going out, and that God would lead to the establishing and to the planting of other churches as the gospel goes forth and people respond and are discipled in the faith. So a few years went on, and it came time for my brother to continue on with his studies. Both my brother and I went to public schools in Mexico when we arrived. Spanish-speaking public schools. I was 8 when we arrived, and my brother was 13. And we did not speak Spanish. My brother had taken a little bit of Spanish, but not much. So it was Spanish by immersion, which is, by the way, it's the best way to learn, especially if you're young. So my brother, just to give you a little context, is very fair skinned. He and my sister were both blonde. They took after my dad. And I was born with dark hair, a little darker complexion. They used to kid me about it a lot, of course. But that maybe I was, you know, I wasn't born in the family. Yep. So my brother was blonde, and in the 1970s, Mexico was tremendously socialistic, tremendously Marxist, and greatly anti-American in the public schooling systems. So Mark had a rough time. God gave him grace, but you know, you have he had fellow students picking on him. And what was worse was he had teachers picking on him. But God blessed him. He made it through. Went to the States. He wasn't sure what he wanted to study. He worked for a couple of years in Shreveport, Louisiana, and then decided he wanted to study aviation. So he went to school in Longview, Texas, called Letourneau University. And no, I'm not a sponsor or anything, but it is a wonderful school. Christian school. But it's private. And it cost a lot of money. Well, about that time, my dad got a letter in the mail, snail mail, regular mail, not email, regular mail, an envelope from somebody he didn't know. Turns out it was an accounting firm. And he opens it up and he says, Dr. John F. Hall, we are pleased to inform you that you are the recipient of a dividend of such and such amount because of the sale of your property. I was like, what property? And then he remembered. The land that his clinic was on had a big piece of property behind it. And his partners had kept him in as a silent partner. And they sold off the back end of that and sent him his check. And that covered for all of my brother's education. And then some. Didn't know it. It was a big surprise. Well, a few years later, it's my turn. And the Lord had put it in my heart to help my dad in some way in the ministry. And I felt the Lord wanted me to train also in aviation. Back at that time, we had a plane that we flew into some of our missions. We did bush flying, landing on the sides of mountains to take in missionaries, take in food, take in whatever was necessary, sometimes construction materials to build a church. So I thought that that would be a great way to serve alongside my dad. So I went to Letourneau. And in spite of us being 5 years apart, we were roommates in college. So much for planning, okay? You know, you want to have one kid in college at a time. You never know. You may have two or three in college at a time. Somebody was telling me that yesterday. So when it was my turn to go to college, my grandmother died. And she didn't have a whole lot. But what she had, she inherited me and my cousin for our college. And that took care of my college studies. So I'm saying this just to give testimony that the Lord is faithful, brethren. You can trust in the Lord. You can obey the Lord and know that He will be with you. The people group that my dad first shared the gospel with and where he saw the girl healed miraculously by God's grace were the Chinanteco people group. They speak Chinanteco. Now, there's many others that we work with. The Mije, the Cuicateco, the Nahuatl, the Mayan, the Tlapaneco. I'll be telling you something about the Tlapaneco during the sermon. Chinanteco means the Chinese-like people. My dad always said, I had the right people all the time, just the wrong country. So, trust in the Lord. Be attentive to His voice. Obey His promptings. Rejoice in what He has. When we moved to Mexico, I would like to tell you that we were suffering to leave behind everything what we had in Louisiana. But we weren't. We were excited. I mean, I was just a kid, and I was excited. But you know why? Because my mom and dad were extremely excited about being able to serve the Lord. There are costs. There are times of crying. There are times of loss. But I tell you what, the joy of serving the Lord and knowing that the Lord is with you, that the Lord is serving with you and serving you as you serve others, there's nothing like it. So praise God for His faithfulness. Praise God for His work among us in Mexico. Praise God for the opportunity to get to meet our beloved family in Christ here, West Liberty. You don't lose anything for serving the Lord, and you gain so much. Gained a wonderful family. I have a great home right here in West Liberty. It's over 100 years old, and it's beautiful. And I don't have to pay taxes on it. It's God's family. It's God's faithfulness, His goodness. So may God bless you as you serve the Lord, and thank you for listening to this testimony of how the work of MITC started and the story of our family involvement in it. And once again, to God be the glory. It doesn't depend on Him who runs, but it depends on God's grace and His blessing upon it. And we are so blessed. May the Lord bless you this morning. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for allowing us to consider Your blessings and grace among us. Father, we know that we are undeserving, and that's why we praise Your grace. And we thank You for allowing us to behold Your glory in the faith, in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may our hearts burn with that passion for His glory to be known, His salvation, His transforming power in this life, and then our full transformation in the life to come. Thank You, Father, for Your precious promises. Thank You for Your family here. Thank You for this beloved church. Continue to bless them and use them as they seek to honor You. All for Your glory and blessing of many. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.